Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, as we're continuing on in our study of the subject of wisdom. Now, as we've looked at the six different Hebrew words, we are going to continue on a little bit with the Chokmah study, and then we're going to again be introducing the Bina word, the synonyms in the Hebrew. And we're going to be connecting the dots as to the levels and layers of meaning, and I hope it's going to be good. Let me read for you Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 as we begin this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 1, and beginning at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye have refused, because I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But if ye have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word this afternoon. I pray that you'd use it to teach us what wisdom is all about. Help us, Father, to gain insight for living, that, Lord, we would begin to think more like you, which is the very reason you've given us the Word of God, that we would begin to make decisions that show that you are governing in our lives, that the Word of Christ is dwelling in us richly. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help me articulate your truth so that your folks would be blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what is primarily this Chokmah wisdom that we're talking about? Remember, it's two things. It is two things. It is trusting the Lord and avoiding sin. Now, there's many other layers to that, and we're going to get into the other layers of that, but this is the primary layers, and so we're going to peel back some of these things. Number one, when God is writing the book of Proverbs, what he wants you to do is see life from God's point of view. Now, when you get up in the morning, you get bombarded, don't you? You get bombarded with all of the philosophy of the world if you watch the news, if you watch any programs, as you drive around, even when you look at a billboard, if you listen to the radio. Whatever you dial into, there is a constant flood of saying, hey, think this way. Might be, you know what you need to do, Aaron? You need to go buy a new truck. They're on sale this week, so come on down. And we were going to give you three hot dogs and a bag of popcorn, and all you need to do is spend $45,000 on our new truck. So come on in. This is going to be really exciting. Think like this. And so everybody's trying to bombard us to think like that. But the problem is, there is sometimes long-term grave consequences to not thinking like God. And there can be breakdowns in relationships. There can be sinful living patterns that are developed in our lives by just one moment of choice. When I was down in Iowa the last time hunting, a friend of mine, Jaron Mills, his family owns 1,500 acres down in southeast Iowa. Phenomenal turkey and deer country. But it's also an area where it's very remote, and they make methamphetamines. Meth labs are around in that particular area. And he showed me one house apparently that blew up or something because they didn't do it correctly. And so that kind of... It's one of those occupations that if you're not good at it, you tend to get removed automatically. you just say, oh yeah, where's Frank? Well, he wasn't very good at that, so he blew up. Okay, well, we're moving on. But at any rate, apparently the meth that they were making in that particular area, that if you took it once, most everybody that did, you were a lifetime addict. It was a very potent form. And also, just after two uses, it would affect your system so that your happiness and joy response systems would actually be killed. And from then on, you would be very flat emotionally, and there would be no joy or happiness in your life. And they were struggling with that form of whatever they were making. Now, the person I'm sure that was, you know, talked into it at a party or with his friends or whatever, say, hey, try this. This is really cool. I don't think they had any idea of the consequence of the decision they were making in that particular moment. Oftentimes we make decisions and we have no idea the long-term ramifications of the seriousness of what we have just chosen. And so God wants us to begin to see life from his perspective. That is what this is all about. So let's look what he says here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, wisdom crieth without. And that is our word. That's Chokmah wisdom. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Now, this is both positively and negatively. I'll never forget when I was down at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission in the inner city of Chicago. That's where the famous evangelist Billy Sunday was saved. The room was probably twice, it was laid out as if I was speaking on that side of the room, and it was really long, and it was probably twice the length of it. And at any given morning, we did the 6 to 6:30 service. When we would get there and preach in the morning, most of the guys, they were forced to get up. They were not going to be served breakfast unless they came to that particular service. And so they were not real happy about being got up in the morning because many of them, most all of them were either drug addicts or alcoholics, or some aspect of addiction had about destroyed their lives. And so when we were up there, we would do a quartet first and sing, and then one of us would preach. And many a morning I was preaching anywhere from 125 to 200 men that would assemble themselves at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. And I was preaching many times they would fall asleep. They didn't really care if they paid attention or not. If they just sat, if they endured Ross, they got breakfast. That's really the way that all worked out. So many times I start and I get really quiet like this, and really kind of get me, you can see it kind of not off. I go, and they scream really loud, and they all wake up, and then they'd be half irritated, but then they would listen for a while, you know, and you're preaching the gospel. But as I looked out there, there were seven, all of a sudden I got to know some of the guys. A guy that used to sit over in the area right about over here was a medical doctor. He was probably about my age, what I am now, had a great medical practice, a wife, and a gorgeous home, and all of a sudden started drinking wine, became a wino, lost his wife. Family no longer had anything to do with it, lost his house, lost his practice, and he was living on the street just, you know, with the typical brown bag with a bottle of wine, and slept on the streets when he didn't sleep in the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. Over here, there was a young man who was 14, tried to lead him to the Lord four or five times, mind completely burned out from heroin. What the young boy did is he worked as a male prostitute for the homosexuals there down in the inner city of Chicago. And his life was just racked and destroyed by sin. And there was a room full of guys. I mean, that was the story after story after story after story after story after story. I was, let's see, probably about 23, 24 when I was preaching to them in that particular setting. And one of the things I began to realize is it hit me really hard. I bet none of these guys in this room at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission ever started out to be like that. They never started out to let their lives be destroyed. But somewhere along the line, they made some decisions that had some very difficult consequences. And I looked out there, and look what it says there in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voices in the streets. You know what? That to me was wisdom crying to me. Hey, if you live by choices like their choices, this is what's going to happen to you. Sin has consequence. And so if you make a list of, you know, decisions like that, this is what's going to happen to you. So wisdom, it cries unto you from without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Not only positive, the wisdom's voice is out there. Hey, these are the things that you should do. But I want you to look at those who've ruined their lives. Look at those who have invited tragedy and difficulty and breakdown in relationships and suffering and physical adversity and problems in their life. Look at the decisions that they've made because they utter their voice in the street. Listen to their voices, the decisions that they've made, and avoid those decisions. I mean, wake up and don't do what they've done. There is something intrinsic about our sinful nature that says, you know what? I'm the exception. I'm the exception. You know what? I can drink like all of you drank, but I won't have the consequences. I can lie. I can cheat. I can steal. I can do whatever I want. I can take drugs. I can, you know, speed. I can, you know, whatever I want. I can do those things without consequence. You do it. Boy, yeah, I've seen what it's done to some of you. But I can get away with this. It won't happen to me. And God is saying, wisdom's crying without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's saying that, hey, listen, there's consequences for living this way. There's consequences for making these choices. Wisdom says, I don't just think for the moment to satisfy my sinful impulses and appetites. I look at where I'm going to be if I make this decision, what it's going to do to me down the road. Verse 21, she crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, and by the way, back then, the setting in antiquity, the wise men of the city would often be at the gates of the city when you entered in, and you could talk to them, you could learn from them. Boaz was one of those particular guys. All the way down, David's son did that and tried to steal the kingdom away. Verse 22, how long will ye simple ones? See the word simple there? It means not somebody that doesn't have a lot of intellectual power. It means somebody who is constantly open to sin and willing to try anything just for the fun of it. How long will ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? He's saying, you are people who are not listening to what wisdom has to say to you. You scorn it. You say, well, that's for somebody else. That isn't really, you know, I can go against God. I can go against wisdom, but there's not going to be any consequences for me. In verse 23, he's saying, I want you to turn from the way that you're living. I want you to turn from the choices that you're making. When was the last time you sat down in a quiet place in your house and made an assessment of the choices you've been making? All by yourself before God. Think about the choices. Because you know what? Many times we tend to be really overly optimistic about the choices that we've made and the ramifications that are going to come of those things. And sometimes we need to sit quietly and ask ourselves some biblical questions. Because you know what? There are going to be consequences. When things finally explode, blow up, run into conflict, and then we look back over our shoulder and say, yeah, well, you know what? I guess I really saw that coming. Well, if you saw any part of it coming, why didn't you pay attention to it before? Why didn't you pay attention to that? You know why? Because we all want to pretend like it's not going to happen to us. We want to be optimistic. We want to say, no, that's for somebody else, but it really isn't going to happen to me. The Bible says in verse 23, turn ye at my reproof. This is what, you know, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but I believe in daily responding to the Word of God and making decisions for the trajectory of the rest of our lives. It would be good, and I try and do this on a regular basis, sit down and think about what decisions am I making on a regular basis as far as my daily schedule, my daily life, what am I doing? And what is that going to do for me or against me down the road? In area of my walk with the Lord, in area of my growing spiritually, in areas of fellowship with other believers, service for Christ, relationships with family. What things am I doing right now that are going to have tragic or terrific consequences if I continue on doing what I'm doing? Because many times do we not find ourselves doing things, repenting of it, and then looking back and saying, I have seen a cycle of this in my life. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to ask you, what troublesome things do you tend to do over and over? What would be your response to me? Run that through your mind for a second. Okay, how are you going to stop that? How are you going to change that? How are you going to keep that from being a life pattern? You see, if it's still continuing on in your life, guess what? What you have been doing is not working. Duh. I mean, that's duh. It hasn't been working. So isn't it time to do what? Like Zig Ziglar used to say, give yourself a checkup from the neck up to see if you have hardening of the attitudes. Look what it says at verse 23, turn ye. In the New Testament, that is our word for repent. It comes from the Greek word metanoia, and it means actually to change the direction that you're going in areas of thought and choices that you're making on a daily basis. Turn you at my reproof. And notice what he's saying here, it's my reproof. God is saying that I am doing that personally to you. Now let's stop and think about this. God comes to Ross one day and Ross is reading the Word of God. And Ross says, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to think this way. And God says, no, don't think that way. Think like this instead. And I go, boy, number one, I didn't even know that was wrong. Number two, I guess it really is wrong. I need to repent of it. Number three, I've got the choice. Am I going to start thinking and applying that thought pattern to all of my life the way God wants? Or am I really kind of comfortable with that because it's working for me, it's satisfying my sinful self? And that's kind of a little micro process, thought process that we all go through on a daily basis. And God says, no, I want you to turn at my reproof because I want you to start thinking like me, and that is wisdom. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. And it's very interesting. You see the word spirit there? That is a very common word for spirit. In the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word ruach. It is also translated wind. And when you first read that, let's tear that verse apart about a little bit, because it's kind of hard to understand. Turn you at my reproof. Okay, I get it. God's, you know, some passage of scriptures told me to stop my present thinking or behavior, and so I'm going to not do that anymore. And he says, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. And but you notice this small s? So he's not saying here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit come upon you, and he's going to empower you, and he's going to help you be different. That's not what it's saying. The word ruach, at least, as a matter of fact, if I were translating this, I think I would have chose this word instead. The word ruach is translated at least four times when you're reading through the Old Testament, mind, your thinking self. Now, let's plug that definition into this. It says, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my mind unto you. Now you've got a little grasp of the meaning he's trying to give you. He's saying, I want to stop you. Stop thinking the way that you're thinking. And I want to pour my mind into you. I want you to start thinking the way that I think, God says. I want you to think about this from my perspective. Boy, brothers and sisters, how different would we be relationally, familially, within our families, occupationally, and all other aspects of life? How different would we be if we thought more like God? Let me put it to you differently. Hey, husbands out there, children, parents, wives, grandmas and grandpas, wouldn't you like it right now if everybody that was close to you made a decision to think more like God? Because of just initially how much differently they would react and respond to you. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You got up in the morning and didn't have to deal with the carnality of those people around you? That would be really nice. Hey, I got news for you. I can't change them, neither can you. But if all of us will change the me, then there will be a changed we. And so that's what we need to work at here. We need to collectively look at this. We need the mind of God. I will pour out my mind to you. And notice what he says. I will make known my words unto you. You know, most of us in this room, at least to some level or another, we all know what God's word teaches, don't we? But it's really hard to live it. It's really hard to flesh it out. Philippians 2:13 says, but as God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants to make us to be able to function biblically by our choices. But look what it says in verse 24. This is why it hasn't happened. God says, I want you to think like me. And so I've rebuked you. I've told you to stop doing that. But let me show you what some of you have done. And as a result of it, there's been horrible consequences. Look what it says in verse 24. Because I have called and ye did what? You refused. You said no. A couple of weeks ago, I made a statement. I said, saying no to God is really easy. It's living with the consequences of that that's really tough. It's really easy. No, God, I'm not going to do that. No! I'm not going to honor you. I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to do what it says. And then all of a sudden, the consequences hit us. And man, all of a sudden, God, help me! God, help me! You know what? There's a biblical pattern that if we do that too many times, there will come a time when you say, God, help me, that he will not help you. Did you know that? He will not help you. Because if he rescues you again to give you another opportunity to repent, you'll only repeat the sin. And so sometimes God allows devastation to hit so that the whole process will stop. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched up my hand and no man regarded. Imagine how God must feel about that. That's another one of those things. Sit down sometimes and think about the word. How does God feel about the way that I lived my life today? If you do devotions in the evening, I want you to skip reading a verse, like your verses tomorrow night. Just skip reading the verses. And sit quietly before the Lord and say, Lord, the way that I lived my life today and the choices that I made today, how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel, God? When you think about that. Because he's a real person in a real place with real feelings. Who really does love you. And we need to think on those terms. Because then the next day maybe we'll live in light of what he said and remember our relationship. Verse 25, but ye have said it not, meaning that you have not paid attention to my counsel and would none of my reproof. So what happens? Look what it says in verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of the wisdom. Remember what we learned about the fear of the Lord last week? We hope in His mercy. That's what it is. We hope in His mercy. And we recognize that we're guests of His on planet Earth. And we are to receive into our hearts this grateful recognition that God has created us and He owns us. And so God, we want to respond. And as a matter of fact, as we look in Job, we saw that we need to, as the miners go into the heart of the earth to seek the gems and the gold, we need to seek God's wisdom. We need to seek God's thoughts that diligently with that passion. And when we do, God says, I will reward you abundantly. But if you don't do that, as a matter of fact, he that being offeneth reproved and hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The way of the transgressor is hard. God very clearly says there's going to come a day that when you will be filled with fear and you're filled with calamity because of the consequences of your sin. You said no to God, which was really easy, but now you're trying to live with the consequences of saying no to God and not doing what He wanted you to do. And so now all of a sudden you find yourself reaping the whirlwind and you struggle and you say, God, please help me. God, I'm sorry. God, I didn't want this. Please help me. And God says, go ahead and suffer. Go ahead and reap the consequences. Why? Is that love? Yeah, let me tell you why it's love. Because time after time after time after time, God either limited, God restricted, or God delivered you from the consequences of your sin as you cried unto Him, but you only returned back to that sin and maybe even intensified it to such a degree that God said, in my love, if I rescue you one more time, you are just going to continue that pattern for the rest of your life. It's time to let the bottom of the barrel fall out and you drop to your own destruction. Because maybe when you get way down low, you begin to start looking way up. See where I really am. Now, is it important to start considering letting that govern you in each and every aspect of your life so that God will guide you and strengthen you and teach you? Two things I want to leave you with today. This wisdom, Chokmah wisdom, means that you need to learn to see life from God's point of view. And secondly, God says, when in order to do that, you need to turn your heart from sin. Okay? See life from God's point of view and turn your heart from the sin in your life. How you doing? Well, let me say this. It's going to be a life project. Okay? None of us are perfect at that, and God is merciful and patient. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. God wants us to continue that pursuit of wisdom in our lives. How do we do that? Study to show yourself approved unto God. But let the Word of God govern your thought life. So what am I asking you to do tomorrow night if you have devotions or morning devotions? We're giving you a night off of reading the Scriptures. Now read the Scriptures if you want. But I really want you to sit down quietly before God and ask this question. Did I live my life today? Did I make my choices today? Did I treat my family today? Did I treat those God brought into my realm today? Did I treat them in a way, O Lord, that was pleasing to you? How did you feel about my day, God? And listen very carefully, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Because it happens to me. It happened this week over and over again. Quietly sit there. Don't let anything come into your mind. And you know what's going to happen in the next few seconds? Portions of verses are going to start coming to your mind. Portions of Scripture. Biblical thoughts. Maybe Scripture that's been recorded in a song. All of a sudden they're going to start coming to your mind. Because that's how God speaks to us. And when those verses come to your mind, just don't think that that was just some kind of weird little passing thought. No. God is speaking to you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God will begin to speak to you. And when you hear 1 Kings 19, as Elijah did, that still, small voice, listen to the scripture that he says. Because all of a sudden he'll say a portion of scripture to you and he'll go, yeah, I know God. Yeah. And then there'll be another portion of scripture. And then there'll be another. That is one of the most wonderful, sweet times of fellowship that I have on a daily basis with God. And I hope that you're having that too. Because that's how we quietly before the Lord say, Lord, I need you to teach me. I want your Chokmah wisdom. I want wisdom to trust you and to avoid sin and to grow in my relationship with you. Let's pray. Lord, use this truth, I pray, to help transform your people. Thank you for their willingness to stay. Give us all a safe trip later on as we go home. And I pray that everybody be safe in the cold, cold weather. In Jesus' name, amen.